Well done, Mark. The reality is we read those words so infrequently that I figure that everybody else would have just figured they didn't know what they were. So, anyway, yesterday there was a sermon that was heard around the world, right? It's always wonderful when you've got one ready yourself to preach and then something happens and you decide that you need to tear yours apart and redo it. So here we are today. Yesterday, there were countless people glued to their TVs, their computers, their tablets, their any way of watching the royal wedding where Meghan and Harry were married at St. George's Chapel at Windsor. It was a fairy tale wedding, right? This American woman, commoner, getting to marry a prince. It's the type of thing that hopes and dreams are built upon. There was hope that we would see something that was elegant and classy. Something that would take us away from, well, what's been our regular news cycle for the last little while. Something that would let us see the world in a slightly different way. And yet I'd say for most of the people who were watching yesterday, very few were probably as interested in the liturgy and the sermon before things began than I was. Right? We were there to see spectacle. We were there to see wonder and awe and majesty. We were there to see Charles walk Meghan down the aisle after hearing what happened to her own dad. We were there to see the kiss on the top of the stairs outside the west door. We were there to see the love that this couple obviously has for each other. In the build-up to yesterday, not many people were excited when they heard who the preacher was going to be. I was, but I've heard him preach before. But an American? An African-American? Bishop preaching at a royal wedding? I'm sure it raised some eyebrows in the House of Lords as to what was really going on with this. Don't forget that Michael Curry is the head of the church, the Episcopal Church in the United States, that had actually been censured by the Anglican Communion because of its support of same-gendered marriages. They actually had their representatives kicked off of some of the governing bodies for a period of time. So, Michael, to go and preach at a royal wedding, I know I was just a little interested in what he might have to say. So when the Most Reverend Michael Curry stood at the lectern in the chapel and preached from his iPad, I figured things might be a little different. He said this: there's power in love. Don't underestimate it. Don't even over-sentimentalize it. There's power, power in love. If you don't believe me, think about a time when you first fell in love. the whole world seemed to center around you and your beloved. Oh, there's power in love, not just in its romantic forms, but any form, any shape of love. There's a certain sense in which, when you are loved and you know it, when someone cares for you and you know it, when you love and you show it, it actually feels right. There's something right about it. And there's a reason for it. The reason has to do with the source. We were made by a power of love, and our lives were meant and are meant to be lived in that love. That's why we are here. Ultimately, the source of love is God Himself, the source of all of our lives. I heard one TV commentator comment on Michael's sermon. And the comment absolutely floored me. Because at one point, Michael asks us to imagine a world based on love. So the comment from the TV commentator was this. He was channeling John Lennon. Imagine. Unfortunately, I think the person was serious. We know, though, that Michael Curry would not have been channeling his inner John Lennon for that sermon. Would have been channeling the Holy Spirit. I read all sorts of comments yesterday in people's Twitter feeds that I would never normally come across. Some said they would go to church more often if preaching was like that regularly. I wish mine was like that regularly. But we know that when a good sermon is preached, it is like that. It does focus on God's love for us. Some said they had never heard a sermon like that before, and that it touched them in a way that opened a new understanding of God, understanding of what God wants for the world, a simple, easy understanding without complicated language, without great theological terms, without things that they couldn't understand. They said that they had never heard a sermon like that before. But we know that a sermon like that has been preached before. The world has heard sermons like that around the globe many times. People have been touched by the power of God's love and by simple preaching. Today, in the reading that Marg read, we heard a part of the church's first sermon. Today, being Pentecost, is the day that often gets referred to as the birthday of the church, the day that the Holy Spirit came and the church was born. And Peter preached that first sermon. We only read part of it today, and I'm not going to read all of it to you because, well, there were people who complained that Michael Curry was over 14 minutes yesterday. And Her Majesty has actually said publicly that anything over 12 minutes for a sermon is too long. So I encourage you to go home and read Acts chapter 2 on your own, so I don't have to. Part of what we didn't read, though, in chapter 2 is this. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. The response of the people to Peter's sermon reminded me a bit of the people's response to Michael Curry's sermon. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." Awe and wonder came upon everyone because of many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. I think today and every day we can preach the same sermon that Peter preached and the same sermon that Michael Curry preached. He said this, "Teller de Chardin, and with this I will sit down. We got to get you all married." French Jesuit Teilhard de Chardin was arguably one of the great minds, great spirits of the 20th century. A Jesuit, Roman Catholic priest, a scientist, a scholar, a mystic. In some of his writings, he said from his scientific background as well as his theological one, some of his writings, he said, as others have, that the discovery or invention or harnessing of fire was one of the scientific and theological discoveries of all human history. Fire makes it possible for us to text and tweet and email, Instagram and Facebook, and be socially dysfunctional with each other. This is most certainly true. Fire makes all of that possible. And Desjardins said fire was one of the greatest discoveries in all of human history. And then he went on to say that if humanity ever harnesses the energy of fire again, if humanity ever captures the energy of love, it will be the second time in history that we have discovered fire. Dr. King was right. We must discover love, the redemptive power of fire. And when we do that, we will make of this old world a new world. So this is our charge then. Capture the energy of love and use the fire of that passion to make the world new in the love of God. For this is what happened thousands of years ago at Pentecost and has to happen each day in our lives. And suddenly from heaven there was a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. So let us speak the language of love, not the language of hatred that we often see in the news. Let us speak the language of hope, not the language of despair that we often see in the news. Let us speak the language of God, not the language of secularism that we often see in the news. For in the speaking of the language of love, we will change the world. We will make it new. For love is the only way, and for that we give thanks. Amen.